Morning. We have a gold star, a million points, whatever you want to call it, for Aiden. Aiden kind of made today's message today a little bit of a U-pick when we were doing that a few months ago. So Tuesday night we were sitting in youth group, and I asked the guys what their favorite Bible verses were. And Aiden was quick to jump on the response of Romans 16:19. Come to find out, there just happens to be a song about it. So I hope you guys enjoyed the song. You see, I got the song sung to me, but you guys got to hear the video, so that's way better. On Tuesday night, when I asked Aiden if he would like me to preach through this text on a Sunday, he said, "Would you?" So here it is. So, well, what does Romans 16:19 say? Did you guys catch on to it? Do you want to read through it one more time? "For your obedience is known to all," Paul writes, "so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil." Now the song that we just heard, of course, goes on to include the text from verse 20. But we'll stop there for the moment. Now what immediately jumped out to me when I read this text and I was kind of studying through it this week is that it runs a little deep, doesn't it? I thought it was incredible that somebody turned this into a song and it was popular at camp and it kind of caught on with the kids, because it's kind of a deep verse. I mean, there's a lot happening in this scripture. But now that we've heard the song, let's jump into it and talk about it a little bit this morning. Well, Paul is writing to the Romans. He says, "Your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you." Well, what does that mean by that? What does he mean when he's talking about that? What is obedience? Do any of our little ones here know what obedience is? And I'm not going to ask my kids. What does obedience mean? Do you guys have an answer? What, Aiden? What does obedience mean? To listen. Okay. Okay. Do you ever hear your mom or your dad say, you know, "Obey me" or "Do what I say"? You ever hear that? Never. You kids never hear that. Ever. Or for you grown-ups, from your spouse. That's a different sermon. Obey means to listen, right? To mind, to do what is asked of you. Paul starts here in our message, and he says, "Good job." He says, "Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to hear that you guys are being so obedient to God." Now, we have one commentator, and a commentator is someone who comments on God's Word, and they put it in a book format, and the book's about 4,000 pages long. One commentator puts it this way: "The fame of your obedience was spread everywhere." So, what do we do when we're being obedient? Back to the kids. What do we do?
Listen.
Do you have any examples?
No.
Maybe if you're asked to keep your room clean, you keep it clean, right?
No, I don't keep it clean.
You don't keep your room clean? If you're asked to put your bikes up, you put your bikes up? If you're asked to clean up after the cat, you clean up after the cat. I'm thinking of more things I end up doing. You don't run in and out, you know, being obedient, listening to our parents. Well, for the Romans, here's the thing. Here's the good news about the Romans. For the Romans, it may have involved doing away with some of their idols. This may be what Paul was talking about: forsaking their gods, worshiping the real God. And it was making waves. It was catching on. People were noticing that they were doing this. So let me ask you guys, let me ask the kids something. Let me ask the kids something. Do you think if you guys had this length of time that you spent not listening to your mom and dad, and then all of a sudden you started listening to them so well that whatever they asked you to do, you already had done before they asked? Do you think that'd catch on? That's a pretty incredible thought, isn't it? Again, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, I really hope my wife doesn't use this message against me when I get home. Yeah. "Honey, remember when you were talking up there about being so proactive in front of the kids?" You know? But it happens, doesn't it? You know, it's what we call witnessing. Witnessing. It's what we call stepping out in faith. God tells us to do something. God tells us to be obedient. And he knows what's best for us because he's God and we're not. So we listen to him, and though other people might not be listening to him, they start saying that we are. They start saying that we're listening to him, and it makes a big difference. Let me ask you this question. This question's for everybody. The kids can maybe help me out with this too. If you have five kids and none of them have had a bath in 5 days, let's say they live deep among the pines, okay? No bath in 5 days, and all of a sudden, one of the kids takes a bath. One of the kids takes a bath. Do you think he'll stand out? Do you think he'll stand out and be noticed among the others? Do you think they'll notice something is different, something's gone awry? The same happens when we start obeying God when we've been disobeying God. One commentator again says, the fame and report of their obedience to the faith, to the doctrine of the gospel, and the ministers of it was spread everywhere, was well known to everyone. They took a bath. He didn't say that part. And spoken of with commending among all the churches and all the nations. So when we obey God, people notice. People pay attention. So that's the first point I'd like you guys, all of you guys, to take with you today. Don't ever think, why do I obey? Why do I do this? Who cares? Who cares? God cares. And people notice. They do. So, you know, let's put those bikes up and pick those rooms up and clean up after the cat. I know it's terrible. If you're an older person like me, let's listen to what God is calling us in obedience to do too. Sometimes our rooms need picked up too, don't they? Once in a while. What's the word, obey? Do you know how to spell obey? Any guesses? Go ahead.
Obey?
Yeah, how do you spell obey?
O-B-E-Y.
There you go, okay. Well, let's see you guys say it.
Obey.
Obey, all right, cool. So Paul goes on here. He says the next part. He says, I rejoice over you. He says, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Now, why does he say this? Why does he say this part? Well, how do you know what to obey? How do you know what to do? We know who is telling you to obey. God or, you know, our mom. But what? Paul tells us to be wise as to what is good. So that must mean that we must learn what, right? As in, if we don't know what someone would have us do in obeying them, we ask. If we don't know what God would have us to do in obeying him, we ask him. I don't know about you guys, but I found myself that usually the trouble isn't knowing what mom or dad or God would have me to do. The trouble is I don't want to listen. That's the trouble. I don't want to listen. It goes back to that word we talked about a little bit ago. Obey. Be wise as to what is good. But ask. If you don't think you've been given direction or told quite what to do about something, ask God if you don't have any idea. For adults, here's that big word again, commentator, and I like some commentary, so I just want to share it with you today. Sometimes we don't like the word commentary, right? They're usually the guys that when we're trying to watch the game, we get a couple of them babbling and we can't pay any attention to what's going on in the game. Sometimes we just want the cameras on the players. We typically don't like commentators, but Bible commentators can, you know, sometimes be helpful. Just a little bit more. Wise as to what is good. Wise as to what is good, meaning do not be cheated. Be wise and skillful to be able to discern truth from falsehood. So let me ask you guys a question. This is back to the kids. When it comes to whether we give our brothers or sisters kisses or a slug in the face, which do we do? Just for the most part. Maybe I don't want an answer to that. When it comes to whether we yell and put our little sister down because she's being annoying, or do we try to help her along and be an example because she's looking up to us? Which do we do? Okay, these might seem obvious, right? These might seem obvious? These might seem obvious. But sometimes knowing what to do doesn't jump out at us. Sometimes it doesn't just stare at us in the face quite so easy. This is a situation that not only goes for our little ones, but for our big people too, all of us. To be wise, we must not only continue to do what is right, that we know what is right, as in helping our little sister instead of pushing her down. I don't know anybody that's ever done that. But we must be in God's Word, the Bible, every day, because our days are full of all kinds of choices. To know how to respond to each and every one of them, what do? We have to go to the source to know what is good. Somewhere, yeah, I was going to say, I don't want a hymnal. I want a Bible. I did that last week. We have to go to the source to know what is good. You know what's really cool about this is Jesus has even shown us how to do so. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Jesus was tempted. Jesus had to make some hard choices. And he went right to the source. He knew the source, Scripture, what God says. He knew how to respond with wisdom. So we must be well informed and knowing in the Word of God. Amen? We must know what the Bible says. We must be in it every day so we can know how to apply it to the hard choices in our lives. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. It goes on to offer everything else that it's good for. For reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God, that we may be complete, equipped for every good work. So how do we know to respond in love to others? How do we know how to treat other people? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us, for example, to love one another as Jesus has loved us in John 13:34. That's how we know. See? It works. It works. But we must be wise as to what is good. We must be in it. We must be in it. But our verse doesn't end there, does it? Our verse doesn't end there. Aiden, how's it end? How's the rest of the verse go? Forget where we left off. I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. So there must be two parts to this, right? Wise as to what is good, innocent as to what is evil. So we must be in the Bible, we must be in God's Word, and listening to God so that we know what He's telling us to do. And what's the other side? We must stay away from what we shouldn't do. But what does that look like? Well, I asked my girls this the other day. You know, when we turn on the stove at home, and you know how you can actually see the flame, do you have to go up and stick your hand in it before you know it's hot? Maybe I did it one time. Okay. You don't have to do that, do you? You know, we might accidentally touch something that's hot and it burns us and we quickly get our hands away. Well, evil works something like that, right? You see, we don't have to go out and make ourselves guilty of it. We don't have to go out and play in the flame to know that it burns us. We don't have to get out and surround ourselves in evil to know that it's bad for us. We have to make the choice every day as to whether we do something we should or shouldn't do. So if you know what is good, don't do the opposite. Don't do the opposite. It's that simple. If you know that your teacher or your mom told you to finish a stack of worksheets before you go outside to play, you don't just jump for the door to the toys, do you? And I'm talking to you grown-ups here. I'm talking to you grown-ups here. I know what the summer sun feels like in comparison to paperwork. Yes, I know. Sermons written on Saturday nights can be just as anointed as the ones written on Sunday for the following Sunday, but that's another subject. Better example might be this. If you know that a person, a place, or a thing gets you into trouble, if you know that hanging around a certain place or a group of people or reading a certain magazine or going into a certain place of business will lead you to doing things you shouldn't do, do you avoid it? Do you avoid it? Or do you play that game of seeing how far you can get from the truth without actually sinning? It's a hard question for us. It's a hard question for us grown-ups. You know, how many smoke-filled restaurants and bars can you walk into without bringing an addiction back? How many grown-up people can you inappropriately talk to and still stay faithful to your spouse? It's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game for us adults. And for the little ones, you know, if you know that every time you hang around a certain person at school, maybe they pressure you into bullying someone at recess, you don't hang around them, right? You don't hang around them. It may have happened one time, but do you go back? Do you go back and hang around them again? The Bible says be innocent as to what is evil. That's not what the world says. That's not what everybody else says. The world says it isn't evil if it doesn't hurt anybody. That's what the world says. But the Bible says in James 4:17, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. That's what the Bible says. If you know to stay out of the place of business or the group of people or the social situation because every time you do it, you know where you end up and it's not good, you're not exactly being innocent as to what is evil. The Bible says, abstain from every form of evil in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. So when we avoid every form of evil, we, Romans 13:14, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So adults, if you know what you're supposed to do, do it. Little ones, if you know what you're supposed to do, do it. If mom or dad tells you to do something, obey. If you don't know how, ask. If you know how, do it. You know, and that's really our scripture in a nutshell this morning. That's really what's being presented to us. But I know what you guys are thinking, because sometimes I think this too. This question seems pretty obvious to us. We want to ask the why. We want to ask, why do I have to do what I'm told? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Do you ever feel that way? I've spent a chunk of my life asking that question too. Well, the reason is God says so. God says so. At the end of the day, the answer comes down to God says to do it. You know why he says so? To benefit us. He says so because it's best for us, because he made us. He made us, and he knows the way things are supposed to work around here. Because he's God. And we better believe that he has a plan in place for us if we obey him. Verse 20. Verse 20 is the good news of our scripture. Verse 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's probably Aiden's favorite part of this, isn't it? That's my favorite part too. You know why? All the evil and all the bad stuff and all the temptation, all of it's going to be gone someday. Praise the Lord. All of that's going to be gone. Someday we won't have to struggle with the worry of disobey. Parents and kids. It'll be gone someday. That'll be real good news. God will crush Satan. We don't have to deal with that guy like Jesus had to deal with that guy time and time again. But in the meantime, we must obey. We must be wise. We must be innocent. And you know what's interesting about this is that this isn't just one thought that one guy named Paul had to one group of people called the Romans. You know, he kind of copies Jesus. Matthew 10:16, you can look that up if you'd like. Jesus tells us, be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Jesus showed us how to be wise and innocent. And that was when the enemy himself was tempting him in Matthew 4. So shouldn't we listen to the one who has given us life, given us his instructions, his word, and learning how to live it? I have one last little part for the adults. Matthew Henry writes, many call Christ Master and Lord who are far from serving him. But they serve their carnal, their worldly interests. They corrupt the head by deceiving the heart, perverting the judgments by winding themselves into the affections. See, we live in a world, and what does the world say? Again, the world says it isn't evil if you don't see it hurting anybody. That's what the world says. The world says if it feels good, it is good. But this world is headed for the same fate as that of the devil. That's where the world is heading. We must avoid evil. We must not be consumed by it. Remember this, God never meant for us to have our daily struggle with evil. He never meant for that to be our plight. We chose to eat from that tree in the garden. It's our fault that we're in the fault we're in. We chose to know about and have to deal with evil. And all these years later, we still know too much. But the Lord is calling us to discern. The Lord is calling us to be choosy about what it is we're learning and who it is we're following. We must be wise. We must be innocent. We can't touch those flames on a hot burner, even briefly, without getting burned, can we? I don't care how much macaroni and cheese has fallen out of the pot. The same goes with being in the world and knowing all that it has to offer. I should have come up with a brilliant macaroni and cheese metaphor here, but I didn't, so. You know, the problem with being in the world and knowing what it has to offer is it has the opposite effect of what the world is telling us. People lift it up like a compliment. You know, you hear that. People say, well, he's been around. He's a man of the world. Problem. The world's not our home. The world's not our home. It's not a good thing to be a man of the world. Our home is with the one who has overcome the world. John 16:33. Will we respond accordingly? Will we follow? Will we be wise and innocent? I pray that in our obedience to God, we will ask for wisdom as to what is good and be innocent to what is evil. This is important. And I pray that our little ones here too will respond in this manner. But here's the thing. They're looking at us. They look up at us first. That's what they see. That our adults will give them Christ-like examples to follow. I pray that this week we all spend a little bit more time thinking, maybe meditating on Aiden's favorite Bible verse. I'm sure glad he shared it with me this week. Will you join me in that prayer? Oh Lord, we get caught up in doing our own thing. We get caught up in following our own way. Lord, not all roads lead to you. Lord, only by following your road, only by following the road of sacrifice, of giving up this world, will we find you. And Lord, you've given us your instructions. And it's up to us to choose to follow. You give us the examples in your word. You give us the examples through the people in your word. Lord, ultimately, you've given us the ultimate example at the cross. Lord, I pray that we have the courage in this world that's screaming out at us to do what we want, to live like individuals, to go our own way. I pray that we have the courage to be wise, to be innocent. Because you've promised us that which is far greater than anything the world could ever offer. For our little ones, I pray for obedience. For the adults, I pray for this as well. Lord, you love us so much. In your love, you've given us your mercy. You've given us your grace. And I pray that we step out in faith. I pray that we step out and follow you. Find you there at the cross. And it is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Wise and innocent. Be wise and innocent in obedience. And this morning, if you've never taken those steps, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never stepped out in obedience to follow that example of what is wise, we pray that you would have the courage to do so this morning at Ferris Church of Christ. If you have a public decision you'd like to make, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, His Way With Thee. 333.